From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. The Charlotte City Council on Monday cleared the way for the Interstate 77 toll lane project to move forward after the North Carolina Department of Transportation agreed to a three-month delay in asking contractors for their proposals. Steve Harrison has this report.
Many West Charlotte residents oppose the highway expansion, and the Black Political Caucus said it's filing a lawsuit to stop it. They say it will further divide their mostly Black communities from uptown, just as the highway's original construction did decades ago. A week ago, many city council members sided with the residents, and some said they wanted the state to look for alternatives to the toll lanes. The DOT said Monday it would delay issuing a request for proposals by 3 months, but it did not commit to studying any significant design change to the highway, such as placing part of it underground. The state said the delay reflected its commitment to listening to residents and elected officials. The DOT also said it could offer benefits to impacted neighborhoods, such as a community center, basketball courts, and a park. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
About 50 people gathered in uptown Charlotte Monday night to protest the U.S. attack on Iran and its involvement in the Middle East. Elvis Meneyese has more.
Protesters gathered at First World Park in uptown. They waved banners that read, "Stop the war on Iran" and "Trump, hands off." Zach Thomas is with the Party for Socialism and Liberation.
I mean, we've seen decades of pointless wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and now they're trying to start one in Iran.
Over the weekend, the U.S. and Israel dropped bombs in Iran. Trump said they hit hundreds of targets in Iran. 30-year-old Adanaka Patterson is against the war.
We, the people, still have the power and we have the voice, and maybe showing up in the way that we do and continuing to have the conversations that we have, that something should be done, something can be done.
Protesters said they plan to continue demonstrating as the war develops. Elvis Meneyese, WFA News.
Hispanic voters made up a small share of early voting turnout in Mecklenburg County's 2026 primary. But new data shows that more Hispanic voters are turning out than ever before. Julian Berger has more.
Early voting numbers in Mecklenburg County show Hispanic voters account for just about 3% of the total turnout in this year's primary. However, the turnout is still breaking records. More than 1,500 Hispanic voters cast ballots in early voting, up from fewer than 1,000 in 2024, and just over 500 in 2022. At the same time, Hispanic voter registration in the county has grown to more than 53,000 people, the highest on record. Lenin Caro with Camino Research Institute says primaries have historically seen low Hispanic participation.
When it comes to primaries, usually Hispanic participation is pretty low. The number of Hispanics participating is higher than even 2024, and it's blowing 2022 out of the water.
Caro points the increase to high-profile races and a rise in young Hispanic voter participation. Early voting among Hispanics ages 18 to 25 has more than tripled since 2024. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
Voters turned out in droves to cast ballots during the early voting period, which ended Saturday. WFDD's April Leslie has more.
More voters showed up early to the polls this year than in the 2022 midterms and even the 2024 presidential primary. Michael Bitzer, a political scientist at Catawba College, says analysts expected the crowded Republican U.S. Senate primary would energize the GOP base this year. But so far, Democrats have pulled more ballots statewide.
This seems to me that there's something going on the Democratic side. If it's energy, if it's enthusiasm, that kind of meets the national dynamics that we're seeing in other states that could potentially set up an interesting midterm election.
In Forsyth and Guilford counties, about 75% of early voters chose Democratic ballots, a dynamic Bitzer says is common in more urban areas. He says the big question now is whether Republicans can narrow the gap once the polls open. For WFDD, I'm April Leslie.
North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis's office tells WFAE that he has not received a response from the Department of Homeland Security after requesting detailed reports from last November's Border Patrol operation in Charlotte. In a letter sent last month to Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, Tillis asked for data on how many people were detained, how many had criminal convictions, and whether any U.S. citizens were stopped or force was used. He requested the information ahead of Noem's Senate testimony, scheduled for today. Hundreds are expected to arrive in Uptown Charlotte for a three-day conference that aims to guide church members in topics ranging from daily operations to how to deal with political discourse. Elvis Meniese reports.
Over 800 clergy and lay people will gather for the Episcopal Parish Network Conference. Joe Swimmer is the group's president.
So it's not really about the theology or the liturgy of the church. It's more, how is it that you handle that roof or your boiler or your campus or raising money? Those types of things that keep the church going.
Sherilyn Ifill, a lawyer who previously headed the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, will be one of the keynote speakers. Swimmer says the goal is to help provide guidance at a politically and religiously sensitive moment.
The opportunity to engage intellectually with, okay, how do I respond to this moment? How do I respond to the war in Iran? How do I respond to, you know, what's happening in Minneapolis? How do I respond to whatever the thing in of the moment might be?
The conference kicks off on Wednesday and runs till Friday. Elvis Meniese, WFA News.
Gas prices were already inching up in Charlotte and elsewhere before the weekend military action in Iran. GasBuddy, a national price tracking company, says the Charlotte area saw gas prices increase by almost 3 cents a gallon over the past week. Immediately next to the Collinswood Language Academy in South Charlotte sits the shell of an abandoned CMS building. Parents are urging officials to tear the building down, citing evidence of drug use, trespassers, and a recent call to police about a gun. James Farrell has more.
On a rainy afternoon last week, there was some activity at the vacant building once known as the Smith Family Center. Bushes had been trimmed, workers gathered, and a few trucks idled in the parking lot. Harry Carawan points to some no trespassing signs. Those are new.
Of course, you can tell the building is boarded up and kind of doesn't have any power supply or anything like that, but we do have video of people entering and leaving the building.
Carawan is a member of the Collinswood PTA and a father to a fourth grader at the school. After a flurry of parent concerns, Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools has been on the site in recent days trying to clean things up. Carawan and other parents are happy with the progress they've seen, but they say it's still not enough.
Well, we're certainly grateful for the steps they are taking, but, you know, We don't really see a long-term solution that doesn't involve the demolition of the building.
The old Smith Family Center isn't just next to Collinswood, a K-8 magnet school. They share the same parcel, only about 40 feet apart. Its empty halls are adjacent to the athletic fields where children play and connect out to the sidewalk that runs from Flagstaff Drive to the school's entrance. That's why parents have been so concerned. Video and photos provided to WFAE showed debris, human waste, a hypodermic needle, and videos of people entering and exiting the building, raising concerns it had become an encampment for homeless people.
I just want to, you know, make sure to express our concern about the unhoused population in the city of Charlotte and that, you know, we have empathy for them. You know, we appreciate that they're, you know, going through a lot. The issue from our perspective is just the safety and welfare of our children.
While the building has prompted concern for years, Carawan says it was a January police report about an alleged threat with a gun that spurred the most recent frustrations. The building has been vacant since 2021 when CMS shut it down due to employee health concerns. Media reports from the Times suggest the CMS school board initially listed it as a surplus property and aimed to sell the property to a developer who demolished the building. But CMS later removed it from the surplus property list. Plans to demolish the site never materialized. Now, parents want more clarity on the status of those plans.
You know, we just don't have that sort of clarity or transparency. And so, while we do appreciate what they're doing and we want to be good partners, we're still concerned about, you know, when we're going to properly deal with this issue.
In a statement to WFAE, CMS outlined several actions it's taken to secure the site, including working with the CMPD, Charlotte Fire Department, and Charlotte Mecklenburg CARES team to assess conditions. CMS Police and Building Services completed a joint walkthrough of the building to ensure it's been vacated. And the district is continuing to remove trash and debris, install no trespassing signage, increase school police patrols, daily building checks, and coordination with CMPD. CMS says it's evaluating long-term options, quote, including future sale and demolition, and anticipates completing this evaluation phase in the coming months. In an email to parents, CMS Chief Operations Officer Tim Ivey said a developer had at one time expressed interest in the property, but it was contingent on the developer acquiring the athletic fields as well. The district didn't want to sell those. After that potential pathway fell through, the district began exploring additional options, including assessing Mecklenburg County's interest in the property. In the meantime, parents remained concerned for their children's safety. Here's Ross Glynn, another member of the Collinswood PTA.
You know, obviously the evidence of drug use so close to our soccer fields, so close to our facilities is a major concern.
An online petition calling for the building's removal has more than 500 signatures. James Farrell, WFAE News.
And for Tuesday, March 3rd, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Teal.